10 wins, you know, but they'll be better toward the end of the year. A lot of people felt that way.
Yeah. All right. They got a stacked roster. Let's go to Don and Conker. Don and Conker, what's happening? And we got the anchor. We got TC. We got Bob. We got everybody. We'll get to everybody here on a Football Friday. Don, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. All you sports fans out there in 49er territory. Good to hear your voices.
Good to hear
yours.
Hey,
you know what? Hey, that sounds good. Hey, you know what? Tomorrow, Purdy runs for touchdown, passes for two. I predict that Mason will get two touchdowns, maybe one out of the backfield. It'll be a rout. We'll play some defense. Shohei Ohtani, he gets a shout out. I'm going to my A's game tonight to watch the Yankees for the last time at Oakland Coliseum. Oh, my God.
Yanks
and then my Cal Bears. What about my Cal Bears? I'm going to give you a stat. If we win the next three games, come on, Bears, we will be 6-0 for the first time since 1950. How do you like that, Mr. Bonte?
I love that, Don. I love those nuggets. That's a good nugget right there. That's a really good nugget. Did you know? Yesterday's Jets-Patriots game. I got another little nugget for you. Did you know that was the first Jets-Patriots game without Bill Belichick on the sideline since 1995?
No, I didn't know that. Wow. That is insane.
He was on the sideline, obviously, with the Jets and Bill Parcells, DC, or whatnot. That was the first time the Jets and Patriots played a football game without Bill Belichick on the sideline since 1995. That's crazy. You want to talk about longevity, man. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Let's get Dacre in here. Dacre, what's happening?
Morning, gentlemen. Happy Friday.
I like when somebody calls me Mr. Fonte. I'm not going to lie. That's kind of cool. Go ahead, Dacre.
Yo, let's all, like, regather here. I believe Jimmy was known as a slow starter, right? So, you know, people need to pump their brakes a little bit because, Joe, you just pointed it out. The reality is, I don't care if you have Montana, any Hall of Fame quarterback back there. If they don't have a line giving him the time, that's like asking a plane to take off without a runway. It's not happening. So the reality is you also have receivers not getting separation, right? So there's a lot of issues we got to clean up, but I believe the Niners are kind of slow starters. And if you really look at it, I think Shanahan's overachieved. We barely have run to the right side of the line. The last couple of games we actually have, that's actually showing me the right side's actually getting better. So if we gel, I like us to start using twin back formations because if McCaffrey comes back and we have Mason, who's definitely a weapon, we got to implement them both. You don't want one just collecting dust. And obviously McCaffrey can go out in the slot and you can read what the defense is doing with that motion. So I think we're in a great position as long as we stay healthy and the line grows. But I think people have to realize, look at our running game. We barely run to the right side, and we still were running. We are an elite team. So I hope the fans, you know, get a little more realistic.
All right, Danker. Good call. Good call. TC Sacramento. TC, what's happening?
Hey, Joe, what's up, man? Top of the morning.
What's up with my bro?
Hey, what's up, bro? Hey, look, y'all know I'm calling in. I got to agree with the caller, Dave, on a little bit of Danker, man. Like, not nothing against you guys, bro, but, like, we can't scoff at the fans, right, that don't approve of really Kyle Shanahan or kind of, like, over him, right? Like, every time we get ready to talk about him, I'm like, man, this dude's really not it. We're not really winning it. You know what I mean? He's overachieving. Everybody, media, Niner media, everybody wants to come down those fans' line like, oh, you guys don't know what you're talking about, Kyle. Like, no, bro, this dude's a high-level loser, bro. Like, this is it, Bonte.
High-level loser?
Let him go.
High-level loser?
Am I lying, Joe?
Yeah. High-level loser? He's won eight playoff games. If he goes on another run right now, he might pass this year. Let's say they win two. Like, I believe he's going to cut right next to Bill Walsh in terms of playoff wins in a 49er. You know, as a 49er head coach, like, come on.
What's the end game? You have to win the Super Bowl, right? So, okay. Joe, that's a high-level loser.
Was Marv
loser,
Levy
right?
A high-level loser?
Yes.
Okay.
What about Brock? Who's the game bigger for?
What does that make Mike McCarthy? Does that make him a low-level winner?
Well, he's like, got a Super Bowl win.
They're 1-4 in the playoffs the last, two or three years.
This is fascinating,
like,
man.
What does that make him? No, I'm dead serious. What does that make Mike McCarthy? A low-level winner?
How do you like that, Mr. Bunte?
I'm serious. Come on. A high-level loser.
Oh my God!
Well, then you know what? I guess that I love high level losing.
Oh man!
I mean, what does that even mean? Come on!
The way that was delivered.
I.
Can you isolate? Oh my God! I'm getting a headache here.
Who was a high level loser? Jeff Fisher. You know what I mean? Who was like 8-8 every year?
My stomach's starting to hurt, man. Oh my God! Swayze, he knows Mr. Bonte. To do the show on Monday,
I'm sorry,
we
Father
need
Patrick.
A victory. God,
oh my God,
Father God, baby Jesus, high level Jesus, low level Jesus, whatever Jesus, we need a freaking win, bad.
Can I ask
because Monday coming in, if they lose this game coming in on Monday, it's going to be a disaster. Okay, it's going. There will be more car accidents in the Bay Area.
What is going on here?
Than any day in the history of the Bay Area, there will be. Because it will be a wreck from 6 to 10.
Was Jerry Sloan a high-level loser? No, come on. Jerry Sloan was a great coach. Jerry Sloan was a great coach. Come on. He didn't have
him, George Karl, Don Nelson.
Well, George Karl is a step below Jerry Sloan.
Well, he took a team to the finals.
Peyton currently reside.
Well, he's building up something out there in Denver. He won a Super Bowl.
He gets
the benefit of the doubt.
That's there the thing, Shasky. 15-year-olds that don't remember that Super Bowl.
Shasky, when you have that Lombardi trophy, the entire conversation around you has changed.
Is Doug Peterson a low-level winner?
Well, he's also in Jacksonville. That place is just a dumpster fire.
Listen. You say 15-year-olds don't remember Sean Payton Super Bowl? I'm 42 years old. I'm starting to forget the last Super Bowl win for the 49ers.
Yeah, but at least we've been to a couple. Like, I know it's not the ultimate the one. Great, like, come on.
The VHS tape gets gradier and gradier by the day.
We've ran into a buzzsaw. They got our number. It sucks. I hate saying it.
Oh my gosh. Oh man. This is all
Levy. He's Dan Reeves. He's a guy that can get you there, but he won't get you over the hump. And now when you couple that with your quarterback, who also has clear physical limitations, that's going to be a problem for you. Now, I do expect that they'll give the Rams a run for their money because they can still run the ball. They run the ball against stacked boxes all the time, and the Rams can't stop the run. However, when you get into a spot where you're going to need to throw the ball or play against a stout defense, you're going to have some problems right now because, again, like your guy said, like Patrick Peterson said, Brock Purdy can't consistently throw the ball outside the numbers 15 yards down the field. And any defensive coordinator worth his salt at this point is going to make him do that to beat you. So to win. So I think the Niners are taking on water. They're taking on water fast, and their good luck with the injuries is running out, and the carriage is turning into a pumpkin.
Mystic, you're on a roll right now. I don't know if I agree with you. We're on a roll, and everything's funny to me right now. I'm getting a little goofy here, delusional. But Mystic, would you pay Brock Purdy? Because it sounds like you're not with the whole reset the quarterback market with Brock Purdy from what I'm hearing from you.
I thought it was get your money. I thought all the players get your money.
Get your money. Absolutely. What makes you think I want Brock to get paid every single time? You guys are the ones who say, well, maybe Brock will take 40 and be a team-friendly deal. And I'm saying the hell.
Different teams and different systems. However, the limitations of Doug Flutie meant that he could not be a long-term starter. Because teams figured out very quickly where they could attack him and where they could make it difficult for him. And now you're seeing that with Brock Purdy. And when you don't have somebody, you can just dump the ball and they can take it 60 yards like a Deebo Samuel or a Christian McCaffrey. That's where those limitations really show up. And if you're going to pay $60 million, guess what? You're not going to have all those weapons moving forward. So I think this is a litmus, a referendum. Where the rubber meets the road.
Ooh, I love that vote. His vote. Mystic, man. On the roll there.
How do you like that, Mr. Bunte?
I like that a lot. And listen, words matter here. I said I would be worried about paying him $60 million. I said worried. I didn't say I'm not paying him. Trust me, it's not my money. It's Jake Yerk's money and the team's money. I don't care. I want all these players to get top dollar.
Pocket watching confuses me so much.
I want Brock Purdy to get... Well, you know,
I'm just asking, like, what...
We saw Trent's value was... loud and clear when they went 17-17-17 last year in a three-game stretch.
I think that Brock's value is pretty clear when we've seen Jimmy G, Nick Mullins, Trey Lance, even